This morning I'll be sharing from you from Luke 1, verses 5 to 25. We are taking a short break from the series Pastor Vlad has been teaching in Genesis, so we can spend some more time in the first couple of chapters of Luke. Luke 1 and 2 give us the stories that surround the birth of John, and more importantly, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As Christmas approaches, it is good to reflect on all the events that were taking place in Scripture that encompass the incredible history of the birth of our Savior. I have titled this sermon, Make Ready for the Lord, a People Prepared. Let's open in prayer before I read the passage. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, your mercies. We thank you for the word that is so prevalent before us. We pray that as a people of God, that we be diligent to be searching your word in its truths. Lord, as we take a look at this passage, this prophetic passage about Zechariah and Elizabeth and the son that they would bear, who would prepare the people, who would make ready and for them, for the Lord, a people prepared. We thank you for how you go before us to prepare our hearts that we may receive the truth of the gospel of Christ. And I pray for your wisdom as I bring forth this passage, this message. I pray that we'd have ears to hear the depths of your word and its truths. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to begin by reading this passage. It's a bit long, so bear with me, but follow along. It'll be up on the back here as well. So Luke 1, 5 to 25, and this is what it says. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and he must not drink And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." That is our passage. So this biblical passage that comes, or the biblical passage that comes to mind when Christmas is approaching, is not usually the prophetic story of the birth of John from Luke chapter 1, but is typically the story of the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 2. The birth of Jesus in Luke 2 is one of the primary passages that give us the details of Christ's birth. Luke 2 is rightfully taught and read by many during Christmas gatherings and celebrations. Nonetheless, we must not underestimate the importance of the prophecy we are given concerning the birth of John and the significance that revolves around Zechariah, Elizabeth, and the angel of the Lord who spoke to Zechariah and prophesied of John's birth, the one who would make ready for the Lord a people prepared. This morning, I want to take time to briefly walk through this passage so that we are better familiar with all that is taking place. After we take a quick look at the outline of this text, I will share with you some deeper insights that I believe the Lord has shown me as I work through it. Luke starts by introducing to us this man, Zechariah. We are told that Zechariah was a priest of the Lord who served in the temple of God. Zechariah was a married man, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God and walked blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Luke goes on to tell us that Elizabeth was without child as she was barren, and both Zechariah and Elizabeth were advanced in age. That is an important detail we will learn more about later. Since Zechariah was a priest of the Lord, he had duties that included serving and making offerings unto the Lord in the temple. This story takes place while he was actively serving. It was custom that among the priests serving, one would be chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense. Zechariah happened to be the one chosen at this time. The offering was burned on what is called the altar of incense. This altar was placed in the second part of the temple called the Holy Place, and it stood right before the veil that separated the Holy Place from the Holy of Holies. Burning incense was done twice a day by the priests. Instructions on how the altar of incense was to be built and how it was to be used is described to us in Exodus chapter 30. As the priest was offering incense to the Lord, the people would be praying outside. Part of their prayers would be asking the Lord that he would accept the offerings being made. Burning incense is associated with prayers to the Lord. David speaks of his prayer being as incense to the Lord in Psalms 141, verse 2. In Psalm 141, 2, it says, "Let my prayers be counted as incense before you, and my lifting up of my hands as an evening sacrifice." We can also see the example of prayer and incense in the book of Revelation. In Revelation 5:8, we read, "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." And in Revelations 8:33-4, it says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." I think it is safe to say that as Zechariah was burning incense before the Lord, he was also making prayers to the Lord, and so were the multitude of people that were outside the temple. Have you considered how your prayers are a sweet aroma unto the Lord? Morning and evening, incense was offered unto the Lord by the priests. This was being done every day. This is surely an example for us in how we too are to make our prayers to the Lord every day, and in the morning when we first wake up, and in the evening before we go to bed. A multitude of people were outside praying as Zechariah offered incense to God. I see this as a picture of how we, the people of God, ought to be in prayer on behalf of the shepherds who labor before us for the sake of their congregations. It was during this time when Zechariah was in the temple that an angel of the Lord appeared to him. It says in verses 11 and 12, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him." I'm not sure about you, but I too would be afraid and troubled if someone appeared out of nowhere while I was making my prayers to the Lord. Most definitely I would have a few questions. Questions such as, where did you come from and how did you get in here? After gathering my thoughts and understanding that it was an angel of the Lord in front of me, I would likely be concerned why he was there. Did I do something wrong? Was I in trouble? Fear seems to be a pretty normal response for such a situation. We don't know what was going through Zechariah's mind, but we know he was troubled and afraid. The angel of the Lord recognized Zechariah's fear and said to him in verse 13, "Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you should call his name John." When we make our prayers to the Lord, we should be confident that the Lord hears them, and thus we do so because of our faith in Christ. Zechariah was surely a man of faith, as we are told in the beginning of this passage that Elizabeth and Zechariah were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Zechariah understood that the Lord heard the prayers of his people, but perhaps he thought God was being slow to answer some of his own personal prayers, as he was a man of old age and his wife had not yet given him a child. Though Zechariah would have had various prayers to the Lord, one of his prayers may have been asking God why his wife Elizabeth was unable to give birth. Although it took some time for this prayer to be answered, when God chose to do so, he did so in a pretty significant way, in sending an angel to announce that his prayer had been heard. God had heard the prayer of Zechariah, and it had now been made known to him by the angel of the Lord that Elizabeth will give birth to a son who was to be named John. This announcement was particularly special, not just because Zechariah and Elizabeth were old in age and past their childbearing years, but also because this boy John would be great before the Lord. The angel of the Lord prophesied of who this child would be and what he would do for the Lord in verses 14 through 17. It reads this, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before for him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." This child would have a special calling from the Lord that would bring joy and gladness to Zechariah and many others. John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. John would be influential in turning many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he would go before the Lord to make ready for him a people that were prepared for his coming. The Messiah, Jesus, was not going to show up unannounced, so to catch people off guard or unprepared. This child, John, would go in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. This was not to be any average child, but one who had a significant purpose in preparing the people of God to recognize and receive their coming Messiah. This was an amazing word that came to Zechariah from the angel of the Lord. One that should have caused him immediate joy and gladness. Yet Zechariah was not so quick to comprehend or receive this announcement, as he responded to the angel with doubt, saying in verse 18, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." Does this response seem strange to you? That Zechariah would question this prophetic word that was given to him by an angel? And that he questioned it because of his old age and the age of his wife? Surely he would have known that God allowed Abraham and Sarah to have a child, even when they were of old age. So why not believe the Lord would do the same for them? I can say I have been guilty of this as well, for not trusting the Lord, even when he has made his faithfulness clear to me throughout his word. How many times have we doubted the Lord because of our own limitations, forgetting he is greater than the things we thought were holding us back? Maybe Zechariah responded this way because he was overwhelmed and had not yet gathered his thoughts. But then again, he received this message from an angel, and it was while he was in the temple of God. Wouldn't that have been significant enough to cause him to believe? For some reason, it didn't. Zechariah did not believe, but questioned how this prophecy could be fulfilled since he and Elizabeth were advanced in age. This doubt that came from Zechariah did not please the Lord. Each of us are called to be a people of faith that trust the Lord in the things he has declared and promised, even when we may not understand them fully. Nonetheless, I too am guilty of questioning the Lord when I should have trusted and obeyed. Surely we all have. Have you ever worried about making ends meet or worried about where money would come from to pay next month's rent? Have you ever been anxious about circumstances that were beyond your own ability to correct, control, or manage? The Word of God is clear in telling us not to worry about what we will eat or drink, but to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Scripture tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make our requests known to Him. Trusting the Lord should come without question, but we are not always where we ought to be in our faith, and we may sometimes have doubt and worry. Regardless, we are called to pray in faith and trust that He will answer our prayers when they are made in accordance with His will. James tells us in James 1, 5, and 6, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." Zechariah questioned the Lord, and the angel of the Lord therefore responded to him, saying in verses 19 and 20, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in time." This was not just any angel. This was Gabriel, the same angel that interpreted Daniel's vision in Daniel 8, and the same angel that came to Daniel after his prayer and fasting mentioned in Daniel 9. It is this Gabriel who is standing before Zechariah in the presence of God, in the holy place of the temple of God, bringing the good news. Because Zechariah did not believe the words that were brought to him, he was made silent and would not be able to speak until these things spoken would be fulfilled. This was not only a consequence he had to bear because he did not believe, but was also a testament to confirm the things spoken by Gabriel in that they would surely come to pass. While Zechariah had been in the temple receiving this prophecy from Gabriel, the people outside were waiting and wondering why he was delayed in coming out. it is understandable that they were concerned, as there were severe consequences to the priests if the offerings were not done exactly how God instructed. Thankfully, this was not the case for Zechariah, and though he was delayed, he did eventually come out. When the people had seen that he was unable to speak to them, they had realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. Zechariah, although now unable to speak, communicated to the people by making signs. I wonder how successful he was in conveying to them all that took place in the temple without using his words. The people must have been eager to comprehend what took place, but were likely left with limited understanding. After these things took place, and when Zechariah's time of service was ended, he went to his home, which leads us to verse 24 and 25. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." The Lord had heard the prayer of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and she was able to conceive a child, even though she was advanced in age. Elizabeth acknowledged that the Lord looked upon her and took away her reproach among the people. Now, what are we to take from this passage? How might these words apply to us? And how can the applications that come from this passage help us in our walk with the Lord today? In preparing this sermon, I read this story many times and sought the Lord that he would open my eyes to what I was to learn from it. The more I study scripture, the more I'm coming to understand that there is purpose and meaning in all that is written, much of which we often miss if we don't dig deeper and pray for greater understanding. This passage began telling us of Zechariah and Elizabeth, that they were of old age and without child. I wonder if there is a significance to why we are told this. Is it important that we understand they are of old age and that Elizabeth was barren? Maybe we are told this to draw our attention to another matter that also concerned age and barrenness. The Gospel of Luke is one of four Gospels that start the writings of the New Testament. Who here knows what is the last book of the Old Testament? Malachi. And who knows how many years went by between the writings of Malachi to the events we just read in Luke 1? Approximately 400 years. That is a long time. These 400 years are known by many as the years of silence, because no new scripture was written and no prophet spoke in Israel during this time. When I considered the length of time the people of Israel were without a prophet and the length of time Elizabeth was without child, it dawned on me that Elizabeth's barrenness, though true for herself, was also true for the state of Israel. Israel, too, was barren, as it had been 400 years since they had been given a prophet from God, whom he would speak through. This would have caused many of the people to lament and cry out to God, that he would send them one who would speak to them the desires and will of the Father. We read earlier that Zechariah burned incense and made prayers to the Lord. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah that his prayer had been heard and that Elizabeth would have a son. When I first read this passage, I assumed Zechariah's prayer was for the Lord to give his wife Elizabeth a son. And it does seem that this way, since Gabriel says, "Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son." But if Zechariah was praying for a son, then why would he doubt this prophecy because of his old age? It doesn't make sense that he would ask the Lord for a son and then question the Lord's ability in answering. Also, it is important to remember, it wasn't just Zechariah praying. There was a multitude of people praying outside. And I don't imagine they were thinking about Zechariah and Elizabeth when they prayed. What makes more sense is that they were praying God would give them a prophet. And they were likely praying that the Messiah would soon come. Remember, it has been 400 years since the last prophet Malachi was with them. Also, when Gabriel told him this prayer, had been heard, he first spoke of Elizabeth and having a son. But then Gabriel went on further, explaining the special calling John would have in making ready for the Lord a people prepared. This was pointing to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. I believe that when Gabriel told Zechariah that his prayer had been heard, he was speaking mostly about the Messiah's coming. Yet we know he was also speaking of the prophet John. Zechariah was likely praying for this coming prophet and the coming Messiah, as both are mentioned and prophesied in the book of Malachi. But I can't imagine that he considered that this prophet, who would prepare the people for the Lord, would be his son. So what was written in Malachi must have influenced the prayers of Zechariah and the prayers of the people. Both were eager to hear from the Lord and were waiting for the coming of their Messiah. The writings of Malachi were the last prophetic words the people of Israel had from God. And though Malachi speaks mostly about the reproach that was on Israel because of how the priests had shown disregard to God in their offerings, he also speaks of hope that would come to the people of Israel in a later time. We see this in Malachi 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Much time has gone past since the people heard from God through a prophet, but they had the hope that was given to them through this prophecy in Malachi. This prophecy brings us to today's passage, where we can see that it was fulfilled. This passage was speaking of John, the one who would prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way of the Lord in whom they were seeking. Not only does this passage talk about the coming of John, but also the coming of the Messiah, the messenger of the covenant. Though the people did not yet understand the fullness of this passage, they were surely seeking the Lord that it would soon be fulfilled. When the angel Gabriel told Zechariah that his prayer had been heard and that his wife would bear him a son, he then tells Zechariah what his son John would do in verses 15 to 17. "For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before them in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Zechariah was a priest. Surely he would have recognized that this child, whom Gabriel was speaking of, was the one spoken of by the prophet Malachi. And not just from the verse we just read from Malachi 3, verse 1, but also from what is written in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. In Malachi 4, 5, 6, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." Very familiar language going on here from what Gabriel spoke. So the prophetic announcement Gabriel brought of the birth of John was also the fulfilling of this much earlier prophecy in Malachi. What Gabriel spoke about was not something that was unknown. Rather, it was likely something the people, and most definitely the priests, were waiting, watching, and praying for. It is then no wonder why the unbelief of Zechariah was not taken lightly. And he was made mute and unable to speak until these things would be fulfilled. I wonder if the unbelief of Zechariah represented the unbelief of the people of Israel throughout those 400 years. And the silencing of Zechariah was showing why the Lord had been silent during that time. In verses 24 and 25, they close this section, and they tell us about Elizabeth. In verses 24 and 25, it says, "After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, 'Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people.'" What was spoken to Zechariah had finally come to pass. Elizabeth was with child and was no longer barren. Soon Israel would have a prophet again, and even better, they would have their Messiah shortly after. This verse shows us that Elizabeth recognized that the Lord had looked on her, so to take away her reproach among the people. This too is a statement that was true for Israel. The Lord had looked upon them yet again and would soon take away their reproach from among the earth. In Isaiah 25, verses 8 and 9, we read, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" It amazes me how perfect the Lord is in all his ways, and how he has precisely laid out the gospel of Christ throughout his word, from the Old Testament to the New. Tomorrow, we enter December. Christmas lights will be turned on, carols will be heard on the radio, and the shopping frenzy will soon commence. Amongst all the hustle and bustle, I pray that we will take time to carefully look into God's word. May we recognize the Lord has revealed all these things long ago, and may we rejoice that these prophecies were fulfilled. First with the birth of John, and second with the birth of Christ, our Messiah. The years of silence have been broken. The Lamb has come. A child has been given to a world who was without. And the reproach that was on God's people has been taken away. This is truly a season of rejoicing as we remember the gift we have been given in Jesus Christ, our Lord. But getting back to our passage, I believe God is saying to Zechariah and Elizabeth that he knows their hardships. To them, it seems impossible that they would have a child, as they have gone past the years of their youth to their old age. They may have felt forgotten by God, but God did not forget them. Rather, he showed compassion on them. I believe God's compassion on Zechariah and Elizabeth is meant to relate to compassion he had on his people, who had also been without. They had been without a prophet for so many years. During this time, they may have wondered if the Lord had forgotten them as a people. But no, he did not forget them. I believe the 400 years of silence had purpose in preparing the people for the coming of Christ. Many of the Jews agreed that John was a prophet when he was amongst them. The religious leaders spoke of this when Jesus asked them, "Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" These religious leaders did not want to answer, lest they would anger the people who understood John was a prophet. The religious leaders said this of the people of Israel in Luke 26. It says, so again, this is the religious people speaking, the religious leaders. "But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So we know that the general people of Israel understood John was a prophet. The people of Israel finally had a prophet among them. Surely many of them would have had ears to hear what John had to say. This in itself had a part in making the people ready for the coming of the Lord. John would go on to call the people to repentance. He would show them their need for cleansing and would point them to the salvation that comes only through Jesus the Messiah. God knows what his people need in order for them to be prepared. Jesus did not show up unannounced, and neither did John. Both were prophesied of before they came. It is not a strange thing for God to take us through times of trials that we may be better prepared to hear from him. Sometimes it may be a time of silence or time of being without, as it was with Israel and Elizabeth. God truly cares to draw his people to himself, and he will surely use all things to prepare us along the way. John was specifically chosen by God to be a messenger that would make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Again, in Luke 1:17, we read, "And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." John called men to repent. One cannot be prepared to receive the Lord if he does not understand the depths of his own sin and how sin separates him from God. How can one receive such a gift of salvation if he does not know how desperate he is in needing the gift? It is important that when we are called by Christ, that we go to him as we are. But this does not mean we go to him unprepared. In Luke 5:31-32, we read, "And Jesus answered them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.' If a man who is sick does not admit that he is ill, he will see no need to go to a doctor or a physician. And even if he is taken to a physician by family or friends, he will not be prepared to hear what the doctor says and the treatment he would prescribe. So it is with a man that is self-righteous and does not see his own sin. One is made ready for the Lord when they come to understand their deprived, sinful state. This helps prepare them to receive the message of salvation. This is why John went before the Lord and called men to repentance. And this is why we still do the same when we preach the gospel today." In closing, two prayers were answered in this passage, and two children were soon to come. The prayer of Elizabeth was answered, and she would be given a son whose name would be John. And the prayer of Zechariah and the people were answered, and they too would be given a son whose name would be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We must not become worried, weary, or anxious when we face times where the Lord appears to be quiet. We must continue to make our prayers to the Lord, as was done by Zechariah and Elizabeth, and as the people of Israel did when they were outside the temple. We must consider that even in our times of trials and waiting, that the Lord is working in us a heart that is ready and prepared to hear from him. Preparation was needed before the first coming of Christ, and surely preparation will be needed as we eagerly wait for his second coming. Let us be a people who are prepared and a people who are diligent in preparing others. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for the powerful depths of your word. So much that is in there, Lord, and we just touch on a little bit of it this morning. But I pray, Lord, as we consider how you purpose to work in John to prepare the hearts of the people that they would be ready to hear the message of the gospel as John brought it, as he called them to repentance, that when you came, that they would receive you as Lord and Messiah. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that are diligent and that we are prepared and that we are diligent to prepare others as well as we send forth the gospel, as we proclaim the gospel and live out the gospel in our lives. Father, I thank you and I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.